It's one thing I'm good for. Disgusting sound effects. Episode 10 of Power Play. My name is Jim Jones.
And I am Peter Street.
And we have another great show for you tonight. So why don't you go ahead and introduce the show segments tonight, Peter?
This time, Jim, we're going to be talking about gaming burnout. And I think we've all probably been affected by this.
Yeah, I know I have.
I'm actually just now starting to come out of burnout. Starting to see the light of the morning star again. And, so we'll discuss some of the symptoms of gaming burnout and exactly how you can break the cycle and get back into being enthusiastic again about video games. Then we will discuss listener questions. There's been quite a bit of questions asked to us on the forums. And we will discuss some of these questions in depth, and afterwards we'll discuss what we've been playing, as I am just recently trying to recover from gaming burnout. I will have a much shorter list than you, Jim, who has been gaming pretty much 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the last month.
Yeah, the list would make it seem like I have, wouldn't it?
It's quite impressive.
Yeah, but we'll get to that. In the meantime, we're going to talk about gaming burnout. As you said, I'm sure pretty much everybody has experienced this at one point or another. I know I went through this probably maybe a year back, and it was a period that lasted actually a long time, like a few years probably. And it was just a period where I didn't really feel like playing games. They just didn't seem fun.
Yeah, I can kind of remember you not really being at all enthusiastic about games when I would, like, call you up and talk to you.
Yeah.
I was wondering, what the hell is wrong, you know? Because why wouldn't you be interested in games? Because there was a time before I experienced my first burnout that I basically felt that, you know, no matter what else is going on in my life, at least I'll have games, you know?
Yep.
I mean, I could be dying of cancer. At least I'd find a smile if I turned on my latest game console.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, burnout's a big issue, actually, because I've recently had many a bout with it since then. But you went through it for years?
Yeah, to tell you the truth, it was shortly after the Dreamcast came out. But not too shortly after, maybe a year or so. But at that point, I don't know what it was. I just stopped really caring about games. And, of course, as you can tell now, I recovered from gaming burnout since I do a podcast about them.
Maybe. Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. When you hear the list of games I've been playing this last few weeks, you'll know I've recovered from gaming burnout.
Yeah, you'll have to tell me how you came out of the slump.
Yeah, but that's one of the things we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about, like, how you can tell that you're suffering from gaming burnout, and also how you can break the slump, break the cycle.
Yes.
And I'm trying to think how I felt when I was suffering from gaming burnout. And to be honest, it's hard to go back to that now that I'm out of that slump.
Yeah, it's like trying to ask somebody what it was like to be, you know, a man after you've had your first sex change.
Exactly like that, as a matter of fact.
The very same feeling, really.
Gaming burnout is a lot like a sex change.
Well, it is if gaming's really important to you. I mean, gaming was my e-peen for a while.
E-peen, yeah. Yeah, true. You were always like that, playing the newest games and kind of reveling in the fact that you were playing the newest games.
Yeah, and then I think my first one came about the time I couldn't afford, like, the latest and greatest. No, I could afford it. It was about the time when PlayStation 2 was about to come out.
Uh-huh.
And PlayStation 2 was not impressive at all to me. And I got disillusioned because it seemed like Sony was trying to market a DVD player.
Imagine
that.
It's
very similar to what they're trying to do now with the PlayStation 3.
But then it was a smart idea.
Yeah, then it seemed smart, but I actually, that was not, in my opinion, even back then, I thought that was a stupid idea. And I was actually working in retail still at the damn time. I've been in retail for like 100 fucking years.
Yeah.
But I was working at a Target at the time,
mm-hmm.
and back there in electronics, I remember telling everybody that they should not buy a PlayStation 2 because I had seen videos of the PlayStation 2 games. They didn't seem as impressive as the current generation Dreamcast titles of the day.
Yeah, true.
And I had heard, you know, that the PlayStation 2 had trouble with certain features like anti-aliasing mm-hmm. on like Tekken Tag Tournament, and it just ended up looking grainier than like it would on Dreamcast. Plus, I said to the folks at the time, Dreamcast was relatively inexpensive compared to the PlayStation 2 because it wasn't a DVD player also.
Yeah.
And I told people, you can actually buy a DVD player that's a dedicated standalone and a Dreamcast for the same price as a PlayStation 2, and I told them that, you know, you'd really be doing yourself a favor because you'd be getting better graphics, better games, and a DVD player that was a dedicated unit for the same price. And I think I still hold to that advice. I think I was giving people good advice.
Well, it would have been good advice had the Dreamcast survived for more than a year and a half.
Yeah, who could have foreseen that after its great amount of support and love through the community that it would be killed. I mean, the first system Sega had done right in generations of failure, and that's the one that they cut short and kill early. What the fuck?
I don't know. I do not know. Can't explain that one. But it sounds like you were going through gaming burnout at the same time I was, pretty much. Or at least at the beginning of when I was.
Yeah, I think mine hit a little bit after yours.
Yeah.
But, because I was still very adamant about the Dreamcast. I think it was when I had heard the news, and I can still remember the day. It was on March, the last day of March in the year 2000.
In the year 2001. Oh, okay.
Oh, God. Good skit, especially since they kept doing it after the year 2000.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, it was March 15th, actually, of the year 2001,
mm-hmm.
and that's when I heard that they had stopped production on Dreamcast, and when I heard they pulled the plug on that, I started to go, what the hell is happening to my beloved gaming industry?
It pulled the plug on your gaming light. Love.
Yes, because, I mean, it seemed like that system was really trying to appeal to gamers more than PS2 was.
Yeah.
At least at the time it was. And it seems like it was really like gaming in general started to take a turn for the mass market when PlayStation 2 really came out. Because I think Sony did a smart strategy. When they did PlayStation 1, they knew that their target audience was going to be the hardcore gamer.
Yeah.
So they got a lot of gaming companies to develop for them that would do sequels to some of the harder core games. Like, I mean, a bold, brilliant move was to get Squaresoft to make Final Fantasy VII on your machine.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just genius. I mean, how epic was that? I mean, Square was almost equivalent. I mean, you thought Squaresoft, you thought Nintendo.
Yeah, true.
Pretty much synonymous. And then suddenly they're going to this brand new funky technology filled polygon pushing PlayStation. And wow, what a deadly combination. And you just saw the amazing graphics of the original system, PlayStation 1, and it was having sequels to other notable titles like Metal Gear, the Metal Gear series, and having great, you know, fighting games and racing games and everything.
Yeah.
It was just a very, very well put together lineup of titles and a lot of third-party support. And then PlayStation 2 comes out, and, you know, they're trying to sell movies with it, and it's got problems with its ability to, you know, anti-alias and do other graphics features. And at the same time, initially, that first year, the launch lineup was pretty sad. I mean,
yeah, it was bad.
I want to play Bouncer from Squaresoft. Who gives a fuck about...
Yeah, no
you
thanks.
Know, it was just like...
I'll take Soul Calibur on Dreamcast, please.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, come on. And Grandia 2.
Yep. Yeah, I started to kind of give up on gaming for the first time in that era, because it just seemed like that the people that I had spent years trying to sell games to as a valid entertainment medium had finally taken over, and instead of that being a good thing, it ended up being, like, the thing I like, lobbied for years was that people respect me because I'm a gamer.
Yeah.
Because, by God, gaming is a fantastic... art form, it's a great entertainment medium, it's a great storytelling medium, and it's so many beautiful things, and I wanted to share that with people. I wanted to get people excited about it. And I tried to do that for years and years, and oh my God, look at me, I've succeeded. And right when, you know, it seemed like when I did, gaming went to hell. It just went straight down the shitter. Right after it caught on.
Wow.
Because it was like they weren't... They didn't care about the people who had been gaming enthusiasts for years. Right when the masses started to enjoy games, they were like, sell them whatever shit they think's exciting. I don't care if it's good anymore. If it's flashy and if it makes a good commercial, we'll make a game out of it, you know? I just lost touch.
Yeah.
At that time, the breaking point for me, the first time I experienced burnout, was I did something that I'll never forget because it's changed my view of games ever since.
What's that?
I took all of my consoles that I had since I was 5 years old, all the games that I had stored up in all the shoe boxes that you can imagine in my closet, I took every single console, controller, memory card, and game and sold the entire lot of it in one day.
Wow. That's burnout for sure.
Yeah, including my fucking Phantasy Star Online character that I'd had like weeks of play to level up.
Wow.
I deleted that character, and it was like deleting part of my soul.
That probably would go in our biggest gaming regrets episode for you.
Actually, I don't really regret it, because
really?
I would probably not be doing this podcast if it weren't for that moment. Because I was so addicted to games, I had no time for anything else.
Wow.
And I would not have made time for a show like this if I hadn't been able to initially break my addiction by doing what I did on that fateful day.
Or you'd be one of the guys who plays games until they die.
Yeah, you mean if I hadn't done that?
Yeah, a marathon session and you just keel over dead.
Yeah, like the many fabled times that supposedly happened with Diablo 2.
Yeah, except they failed to mention that all of them were on heroin at the time.
Yeah, that slight detail was overlooked. Yeah,
and were crushed by a falling piano. They forget about those facts.
What? Is that true?
No, that's not true.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, well, why are you gaming underneath a huge piano? Especially for a long block of time.
8 days under a piano.
I'm going to put my laptop right here underneath this piano. What the hell? You're just asking for
Yeah,
it.
You are.
It's like trying to game underneath an elephant's ass.
You're asking to get shit on.
You're asking to get shit on.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I think the thing that really, now that I look back on it, the thing that really marked my gaming burnout, and the thing that allows me to recognize it now, is the fact that I stopped playing a lot of single-player games and really only played multiplayer games. Like, I didn't play when I was by myself. I only played with friends. It was became more of a social thing for me and less about the games.
What do you mean? How did that contribute?
It didn't contribute. It's what I see looking back now that happened. I can't really think of the cause of why I got burnout on games. It's just, maybe it was
around the time. You mean it was games were turning into more of a social thing to you? Or, because that seems like that's what gaming's about, in a way. It seems like you'd be stronger. I mean, that's when a lot of people actually develop gaming addiction, is because they finally discover an online game, for example, like World of Warcraft or Battlefield or...
Yeah, Counter-Strike,
you know,
for me.
Counter-Strike, yeah. I mean, when they... That's when my cousin basically became... completely enveloped in gaming is my cousin Ace Jace, the famous Ace Jace, basically winner of a lot of Quake tournaments.
Yeah, we've never talked about that on the show. Your cousin is actually the famous Ace Jace, or Ace Jazz, however you want to say it.
Yeah, depending on, if you want to pronounce it wrong and invoke his wrath, it's Ace Jazz, but no, Ace Jace, yeah. I am related to a famous gaming icon.
Yep, and if you look it up on the web, you can find pictures of Ace Jace with John Carmack and QuakeCon and all sorts of events.
That's right.
You can even find demos of his playing some of the best players in the world at Quake.
Yeah, that would be my cousin.
Yeah, the cousin that used to come over to my house and play ping pong with us. Of all things, that's weird. Like, can you imagine saying to someone, oh, Fatality and I were playing ping pong when I was younger.
Yeah.
What? What are you talking about? But it really happened.
Yeah. Yeah. And, he's not famous on the scene nowadays anymore.
Yeah.
But he's definitely, he can be found. He, back in, I would say, the more hardcore time period, he was, you know, because people who are famous today, I mean, it's, I don't know. There's just so many ways to get lost in the crowd. Because, like I say, I think gaming is much more mass media,
definitely
mass market. But back in the day when gamers were gaming, you had Ace Jace,
yep,
and some of the most amazing matches you could ever see. He was a genius at both Doom 2. And Quake, and I really will never forget going into his place and seeing this really cool-looking Quake logo, but it's a trophy he got for winning one of the tournaments of Quake, or getting, he maybe got second that time. I know he was won several prizes, too, but he almost was in competition with Thresh for that Ferrari. John Carmack's first Ferrari, I believe it was John Carmack, one of the id people.
Yeah.
But he couldn't compete because I guess he didn't have broadband.
Oh, lame.
Because I guess he didn't like playing because one of the tiers in the competition was an online match, and he didn't have... I lived right across the street from him for years.
Yeah.
We were out in the sticks and just had dial-up. I don't even think broadband was available at the time, but he was getting lag, so he couldn't compete.
He should have gone to an internet cafe. Would have been.
Did they exist back then? Back in the Quake 1 days?
Yeah, I think Netheads in Indianapolis did. Broad Ripple. I don't know. But, one of my other memories of his place was going over there and playing Rebel Assault on his PC. That was like one of the first games I played. And that was that was pretty cool. That and Indiana Jones. Which sucked.
Well, never. Yeah, and that was a great game. I loved that.
I hated it.
Oh, I thought it was cool. LucasArts made hard games.
Yeah, they did.
Their games are always so difficult. But I can remember him being the complete opposite kind of gamer as me. In the sense that when I was growing up, I'd be, you know, he'd come over to the house and, what are you doing? Oh, I'm playing Mario Brothers. I'm about ready to throw a mushroom in Toad's mouth and beat the game. And, you know, I would go over to his place and he'd be like online killing demons in Diablo 2. And he's like, yeah, all these people are real people. And I'm talking to them and I'm like blown away. I'm like, they're real people?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I won't play games that are single player. Those are for sissies. And this is so much better when you're actually playing with real people. And at the time, I totally bought it because I was like, this is amazing. And in a way, you know, he is kind of right. You know, it is, in a way, a lot more compelling to be playing with other, you know, people that you can actually learn, you know, develop a relationship with and, you know, game with several nights, you know, the same nights each week and have a clan. It's, I mean, you should know how exciting that is.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Long-time Counter-Strike player.
Yep, but that brings me back around to what I was talking about earlier with my gaming burnout, which I now identify as when I stopped playing single-player games. I think what it was at the time I was about 17, and I had just gotten my license, and I was able to get out and do more with my friends.
A little bit of freedom.
Yep, a little bit of freedom. And I think that's really what kind of led to my gaming burnout, because I was having a lot more fun in the real world at that point than I was with games.
The real world seemed so much more exciting.
Yeah, because when you're that age, I mean, getting your license really is huge.
Yeah, that's pretty enormous.
Yeah, becoming mobile.
Gargantuan.
Yeah. So I think really that was what led to my gaming burnout.
Yeah, it's so novel and amazing at the very beginning to be able to go anywhere you want.
Yeah, you really feel like powerful.
you do.
You really do, like in control of your life.
Yeah, your whole destiny is in your hands.
Yep. And throwing a toad or throwing a mushroom in Toad's mouth doesn't seem quite so exciting anymore. When you're going out to parties and drinking with your friends and.
Yeah, well, I had to be religious. I lived at home.
Yeah.
In a much more strict lockdown environment. So when I got my car, that's when I got my first microchip implant. So my parents could monitor my whereabouts. Not really.
Yeah.
But it was almost as bad. I mean, there were no drunken parties, and I had to be home by a certain time, and it was much more strict in my house. So, I mean, I was still much more obliged to falling into gaming as a form of escapism.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't have that I didn't have as much physical freedom even when I got my license as you. So I instead gained that sense of freedom through continual playing of games.
All right.
So I think that's why my burnout kind of was delayed.
Yeah. But that's what I really meant by, I just noticed that I had become more inclined to play multiplayer games as opposed to single-player games.
How'd you break the slump, as it were?
Oh, breaking the slump. That's a whole other story. The game that broke
next
the slump.
Next time on Power Play.
Yeah.
Breaking the slump of gaming burnout. 10 easy steps.
Well, I have one easy step, and the one easy step was play Counter-Strike, because that's the game that brought me out of my slump.
Yeah, I remember going over, and you were always playing that, man.
Yeah, Counter-Strike
constantly.
Was... No. You know what brought me out of my slump?
What was it? Princess Peach. And Zelda at the same time.
No, it was Counter-Strike, but it wasn't when I originally started playing Counter-Strike, because I had played Counter-Strike for a while, like when we were going to LANs and everything when I was younger.
Yeah.
And it was the reemergence of Counter-Strike. For some reason, I think it was my roommate who got me back into Counter-Strike at the time, because he played a lot, and he came from a PC gaming background, like strictly PC games. And he was playing StarCraft a ton, and I never got into that game, but he played Counter-Strike, and I was like, I wonder if I should get back into Counter-Strike, and I did. And I, of course, got addicted, and ended up losing a job because of it.
Oh, my God. You lost a job?
I lost a job.
You really did. You've always said that. I thought you were joking.
No, I am dead serious. I lost a job because of Counter-Strike.
Honest to God, you lost a job because of Counter-Strike.
Yep. Came in, stayed up too late playing Counter-Strike one too many times, and got in late to work one too many times.
And you were fired?
I was fired.
Wow.
Horrible. But now I do contracting work from home, and I love it. So I can't say that I regret it all that much.
Yeah, you'd probably still be there and miserable.
Yeah, probably, yeah. So Counter-Strike saved my life.
Online gaming saved your life.
Yep, whatever. I'm going to write an article about that. Online gaming saved my life. Send it into Reader's Digest or something.
That would be the... That would be like, I bet there's one of those articles per counter or online gaming destroyed my marriage or
yeah.
Online gaming ruined my family life or
online gaming resurrected my dead aunt.
I'm going to write an article called EverQuest Ruined My Sanity.
EverQuest.
Yeah. Yeah, EverQuest. That's the famous one. That was the first one that really gained notoriety. Didn't someone commit suicide for like losing their character or something on that game?
Yeah, I think so.
I've heard really weird stories about a lot of WoW addicts too.
Yeah,
I mean, there's definitely been broken families, marriages, and
it's committed
jobs.
A share of murder. That's for sure.
Yeah, there's an equal amount of blood guilt on World of Warcraft's conscience as there is on EverQuest, probably.
Yeah. Well, you can write the bad articles. I'll write the good ones.
All right.
EverQuest 2 gave me children. What?
Oh. EverQuest 2 was the reason my son got a donor.
Star Wars Galaxies cured by cancer.
Oh, that's awesome.
Anyway.
It's the Force.
So what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, gaming burnout.
We're talking about how to break the cycle.
Well, I'll tell you
how
to break
the cycle. Do you get the fuck out of... When you're finally burnt out and you're sick of gaming, you don't... Let's quickly describe burnout, though.
Okay, all right.
Because we've talked about how we've gone into burnout, but we've never really described how it feels to be in the midst of burnout. How would you... You go ahead and start. I'll describe it. You start. I'll describe how I feel while I'm burnt.
How do I feel while burning? Oh, boy. That's a tough question.
Yeah, it is.
I'm looking back on it. It's a really tough question. I don't know if I can answer it.
Oh,
it's too tough.
Oh, there's no question too tough on Power
No
Play.
Question too tough for Jim Jones.
I mean, surely during this time you had the opportunity to game, you just chose not to.
Yeah, definitely.
Isn't that right?
I mean, I still owned gaming consoles at the time. I had a PC. I've never sold my PC off, so.
So you could have gamed.
Definitely. Definitely could have gamed.
So you had the option. There were games undefeated that you could have played.
Definitely.
And
you know what? While I was burnt out, I missed a lot of good games that I wish I would have played.
You know, you really did.
I missed a ton of them. Yeah,
you did.
Because
I would call you up and tell you about games that I would
play. Oh, I know.
And you would be like, oh, wow, that actually sounds kind of cool, but you would never play it.
It's been very recently, within the last... maybe year and a half or so, that because I hit gaming burnout twice, actually. Once before my Counter-Strike days, and then once after my Counter-Strike days, and up until about a year and a half ago. And while I was burnt out, I really just did not feel the urge to play games. Like, I was having much more fun, like I said, with real life.
Sure.
And it just felt like games were kind of a waste of my time and pointless. And why the hell would I spend 8 hours a day playing Counter-Strike like I would in the future when I could be out having fun with my friends or something?
Yeah.
And to be honest, my first gaming burnout was before I discovered the whole online community aspect of gaming. Before
really?
My first clan that I was in, before really much online gaming.
Huh.
I'd been to LAN parties, and that was cool. And I still went to LAN parties during that time. because, like I said, the social aspect of it was great. I loved it.
Yeah.
But I just didn't feel the urge to play games when I was by myself. Huh. I don't know. Maybe I wasn't by myself as much. Maybe I had... I just didn't have as much time.
So you didn't... Part of it was not feeling that it was a meaningful waste... Or a meaningful use of your time. A meaningful waste.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. It just felt pointless.
I guess I can relate to that. I mean, that's... It's kind of how I would... I can't remember... You know, I've already kind of described what led to my first great burnout with the games.
Yeah.
But recently, I must confess that I have kind of burnt out again. And I'm just now starting to come out of it. So I'm fresh out of a burnout.
The Burning Crusade burned you out, didn't it?
Maybe. I don't... that'd be ironic, but no. I would describe it as similar to the way you described it, in the sense that it feels like you're spending your time doing less than nothing.
Yeah, staring at a wall would be more worthwhile.
Would actually be more productive
to your
well-being as a person than spending any more time pressing the 2 button healing yourself in Warcraft.
Yeah.
I mean, because there comes a time when my mind, at least with me, I go, what the fuck is this for?
Yeah.
Why the hell am I doing this? Why am I compelled to go on with this?
Yep.
And, you know, and it's not just while I'm playing the MMOs that you and Peter Dragon can't stand, but it would be like I would try and pick up a game console controller or my DS, and I would try and go through another room in Hotel Dusk, and I'd be like, this is fucking fake, you know?
Yeah.
I could think up a better plot when I, you know, I could shit one out on a rag, and it would be, you know, as inspired as some of the shit. I just fail to see inspiration in any of certain games too. I'll put in a game and I'll go, you know, what is the point in this game? Is it trying to better me as a person? Is it trying to help me discover things about life and reality and the greater mysteries, or is it just trying to fucking
suck up your time?
Suck my time up.
Yeah,
and
your
just
money.
Seems like you go through a period of time where you think that's all it's doing, and you just stop doing it. I can definitely relate to those feelings. I just got through with some of those.
Yeah. And I did too. Like I said, I went through burnout twice, probably, same as you, because after I got into a clan, got in real big with Counter-Strike, I kind of burnt out again, because maybe it was more about depression then, because I lost my job, and it wasn't too bright of a period. And I kind of realized that playing games had kind of hurt me in a way, so I kind of stopped playing. And then I missed out, oh man, during that period I missed out on so many good PS2 games.
Oh yeah.
That I probably will never get around to playing, because there's just too much new stuff out there now.
Too much has passed you by, and there's too much great stuff coming, you'll probably never catch up.
Yeah, so that's a shame.
Part of what led to my burnout as well was a fear of being too into games, because at my peak, right before the valley of burnout, right at my peak of excitement about gaming, I was seriously verging on obsession.
Yeah.
Because I was, like, giving myself to games, and I was just totally... I would buy any new game that was out. I was living at home, so I had free money, and I just had a lot... Well, it was like free money, because you could do whatever you wanted. You didn't have to worry about rent, diapers, and you know, and all those other responsibilities that I now, as a father, have.
Yeah.
And when I had all that extra, I could just, you know, oh, fuck, a brand new game. I don't even care about this genre, but I'll buy it, you know. And it wasn't just with those frivolous expenses, either. It was with the... a lot of hardcore games that would take a lot of time and effort, like
Phantasy Star,
or Skies of Arcadia. I remember buying that game and just completely, letting it completely eat me up and learning the nuances of the battle system and getting really emotionally attached to the characters and just totally giving myself over.
Yeah.
And it seemed like I was almost starting to be afraid of, you know, because I would constantly get, you know, talks from my parents and things about how being too involved in games is going to make you a useless being and you're going to be a bum and not care about your, you know, you'll never have a family or real life. You'll just be wrapped up in it for the rest of your life.
That was one thing I noticed when you were going through gaming burnout. I would call you up to come over and, or not when you were going through gaming burnout, but when you were kind of at your peak right before then. I would call you up to, like, come over, and you would refuse on the grounds that you were playing a game.
Yeah.
And couldn't come over and hang out, so, yeah.
I didn't see it. It was the exact opposite of burnout.
Yeah.
I didn't see a point of doing something besides games.
Oh, no.
I was like, that's just a... Why would I want to talk to you when I could play a game? That's
wow.
Kind of sounds rude, and I don't think I ever put it that way, but that's
probably
what I was thinking.
But yeah, I could definitely tell you were obsessed at some point.
Yeah. Be like, what's the point in socializing? I'm just going to need to play this game later.
Yeah.
Why don't I just play it now?
Yeah, so that's kind of how I felt.
How did we come out of the burnout?
Well, like I said before, I came out of it because I moved in with someone who played a lot of games. And it just so happened that he turned me on to Counter-Strike again. Because he was playing a lot, and I would occasionally sit down and play with him. And I just got really involved. We formed a clan. And another guy at work was the leader of the clan. And he kind of talked me into playing. And so I got involved with it again, and then I really started enjoying it. Because, like I said, I think it was more the social aspect of it. That's the big thing that got me addicted to Counter-Strike is being in a clan and talking to all the people and having friends online.
Yeah. Well, I never really thought about it before now, but I think recently part of me coming out of the slums of gaming burnout involves...
pornographic games.
Yes, Beat 'em and Eat 'em. If it wasn't for the Beat 'em and Eat 'em series, I probably to this day would not be a gamer. No, that has
and
nothing
Boonga Boonga.
At all.
Boonga Boonga brought me out of my gaming slump.
It was Kaboom is what did it.
No,
it was
really?
Kaboom. It reminded me of Beat 'em and Eat 'em and all those good times. No, seriously. what I believe, I think, recently, I purchased a game called Battlefield 2142.
Oh, God.
And I posted on the forums how I've also recently upgraded my PC.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this nice widescreen, high-def monitor.
Shiny.
I have a nice, shiny Athlon dual-core 64 processor and a halfway decent GeForce card with a couple of gigs of DDR2 RAM. And I'm sitting on a pretty decent rig, a pretty sweet rig.
Nice.
And it can play Battlefield 2142, and it looks beautiful, plays beautiful. And this game is fun as hell. I don't know if you're very familiar with that series.
Familiar with the series, yeah. I've never played 2142, though. I played Battlefield.
The Titan mode is a hoot.
Yeah, I've seen it, and it looks really cool.
It is a lot of fun. It's like storming a Star Destroyer, basically.
Yeah.
It's two opposing forces trying to gain control of missile silos so they can take the shields down of this enormous, you know, Titan that's in the orbit.
Yeah.
And then you have to storm the Titan when the shields are down and go to the core and destroy it and then escape before it blows up. And it's all very intense, very futuristic. There are mechs in the game, and it's kind of like got a mech warrior feel to parts of it. And it's a very fun team-based co-op game that I've been playing with me and my fiance, actually, because we have the same computer now. We both upgraded.
Mm-hmm.
And we're both playing this game, and it's just really compelling because we can talk across the room, and it's that it's a very mini LAN type environment here at the house now.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's an exciting game, and it's made me kind of discover how, you know, because I'm coming out of this thing where gaming's like has no point, and now I'm starting to see, yeah, it does. It's for entertainment. It's totally to make you enjoy life. It's to complement life.
Yeah, true.
It's not, you know, when gaming is truly balanced, and in my opinion, at its most enjoyable, it's enhancing your life. It's not dominating it. It's making the rest of your day a little more bright, because if... You know, if worse comes to worse and my day completely fucking sucks, which happens more times than I would love to admit, I can now say, well, at least when I get home, I can fire up, you know, Battlefield and play for a few matches with Nikki.
Yeah.
And then it's all right.
Well, I think that about covers gaming burnout. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that about does it. Cool.
All right. Well, let's move into our next segment, which... It's listener questions.
Oh, those damn listeners.
Those bastard listeners. They've asked more questions. Can you believe it?
Finally.
No, we don't want questions. Especially questions this difficult. We have some doozies.
I've
this
been
time.
Begging for questions for months now, and they finally deliver, and they finally give us questions, only to give us the hardest fucking questions in the world. At least in my opinion.
Yeah, because this is one. This first one here is one that I don't have to answer, because I've already stated my points here.
I hope you answer, because I'm going to need some help.
Well, this one was directed at you.
I know it.
Peter Dragon, he asks, why
Pepsi
play...
Pepsi or choke, motherfucker? And it's easy. The answer to this one, Peter, is Pepsi.
Pepsi.
Yep.
Definitely Pepsi.
Okay, that's enough, and time to move on.
That, however, is not the question I was referring to.
Shit.
I was referring to where he asks, why play MMORPGs? Seriously, why play them? And he wants an in-depth response. He wants the mother of
he's already in my mother's bed, so he can just keep on wanting.
He is.
He can have my mother.
But yeah, that's what he asked. Why play MMORPGs?
Because they're awesome. End of story.
Concise, to the point.
Yep.
No waste on that answer whatsoever.
Nope, didn't want to waste it. I thought I'd save this bombshell for this segment. And the reason you would play an MMORPG today... Because they kick ass. There you go.
That seems like an insufficient answer.
What?
Yeah, it really does.
Okay. Well, fine. Why don't you read his entire argument first?
I will read it. He says, I have a question. I'd like to hear an in-depth response to the question, why play MMORPGs? Seriously, there seems to be an out-of-whack time investment to fun ratio in these games. People play them and say they enjoy them, but then use words like grind and level and crap like that. There doesn't seem to be much in the way of skills, tactics, or strategy, and what little there is seems to be of the Magic the Gathering subset of hoarding and collecting. In other words, you aren't better because you're faster and smarter, more intelligent, etc. You're better because of what you have bought and accumulated, and these things come because you simply invested time.
He's saying that the strategy involved is not actually strategy, but it's more of the pseudo-strategy that Magic the Gathering card players do. Because I've dabbled in Magic a little bit. Sounds like Peter Dragon has as well. With Magic the Gathering, you basically have your strategies laid out, and there are various ones, and they're pretty in-depth. However, a lot of it does depend on the amount of cards that you find in packs, you know, that are a little better than the other normal cards.
Yeah.
And being able to not only afford to buy the rare ones that are really good, but also be able to assemble a deck with the right ratios in order to be able to draw the right amount of cards. And it's kind of a more... It's more of a hunting and gathering way to play strategy than it is just pure strategy.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of luck and a lot of collecting the right crap in order to be good at a strategy. Because you could be an excellent tactician and have a shit deck and fucking die to an idiot that's just playing, you know, with no strategy in mind whatsoever.
Yeah. Sure.
And to a lot of people, that's not true strategy. And, you know, I'm one to say that too, because I'm a big fan of chess and I like pure strategy.
Yeah.
When it comes to MMORPGs, oh, Jesus.
You got to defend these, because I've already said I'm not a huge
fan. Well, here's the way I'm going to answer this. This is the way I'm going to take up this question, because I'm not going to defend this question, because the question actually, if you look at it, he says, why play MMORPGs? Now, I'm not going to defend or respond to this in a typical fashion, because I don't believe that I need to promote them.
Okay.
So first of all, I'm not going to say, yes, this is why everybody should play MMORPGs.
Because yeah, truly, I think his question is more of, why do you play MMORPGs?
God. All right.
No, I guess it's, why would anyone play MMORPGs?
Yeah, it seems more in general. It seems generalized.
Yeah, because he's saying it takes so much time to get any kind of fun out of it.
Yeah.
Or you have less fun than you put time into it. When there are much better options out there as far as time to fun ratio.
I guess there are a lot of different things that are fun about at least WoW, but first of all, I'm not going to defend it because I'm not going to say that people should play them. That's up to the individual. When it comes to why I play, you know, World of Warcraft, it is several factors. It's a variety of things.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I play because I had never played one before. So I thought that I would try, because it seemed like an interesting idea. I mean, you have fun playing with a group of five of your friends at a LAN party. Wouldn't it be 10,000 times more fun to play with 100,000 people at the same time?
Yeah.
You know, in theory, that works on paper. And then I also thought, well, you know, I've never really played one. This seems to be the most fun and the most popular of MMOs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I picked Warcraft. And then I thought, well, you know, maybe if I, you know, at the time I was kind of going through a bit of, you know, the aforementioned burnout.
Yeah.
So I thought the best way to get into games again would be to completely consume myself and smother myself in gaming.
And that's what an MMO does.
To rekindle the fire, and it really does.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, I'm going to make a very, very shocking statement.
Oh, God.
All right, everybody. If it was not for my fiancé, who has 4 level 70 characters,
Mamacita,
in the world of motherfucking Warcraft, it was not from the fiancé that I sit next to in this room of mine on a daily basis and game with on a daily basis, who is completely loving and truly enjoying World of Warcraft in a way that I never have. If she wasn't as into the game as she is, I would not play World of Warcraft to this day.
Wowee.
I would have probably quit before I even reached 60, which was the former level cap.
Yeah. It's peer pressure. It's all about peer pressure.
I've been peer pressured into playing World of Warcraft.
And doing heroin.
What?
And doing heroin.
Well, I think the listeners have known I've been addicted to heroin for a long time.
Oh, okay.
That's one of the reasons we never post any pictures of me, because my flesh is hanging off.
you're a sack of skin.
It's amazing with the right... This is a real trick that I'm going to enlighten people with. It's amazing with the right macros in Warcraft, you can play while burning a spoon over a candle. It's awesome.
Wow.
I've gone through entire in-game instances while heating up heroin over a candle with my bent spoon.
That's a talent.
My spoon and candle are right here on my Burning Crusade mouse pad next to my optical mouse.
That is a skill, my friend.
Thank you. I'm glad somebody finally appreciates it.
No, I was going to say, though, it's interesting that you bring up the fact that it was your first MMO, and I wonder if the reason I don't like MMOs is because my first experience was with Star Wars Galaxies, which was not a very good one, to say the least. And
I'm bitter about that game. That could have been awesome.
And not
really
only... It could have been.
Talk about fucking heroin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Star Wars
it could have been
MMOs.
The perfect drug.
Yeah, forget about it.
Could have been the perfect drug.
But it turned out that I played that first, and I got into the beta of that. And
sure,
I
remember.
I got into the beta phase 3, and I was playing it before it came out, and I didn't care about the bugs. That wasn't the issue. But do you remember what I played?
Yeah, weren't you a musician?
I was.
That's all you did?
That's all I did.
Like,
we were like,
why don't you roam around Tatooine? You're like, fuck that. I'm playing this horn. And that's all I'm doing.
No, you remember. I told you that I didn't want to go around, explore the world, because I wanted to wait until it came out, until it was done, so I would see it in its full glory or whatever. So I refused to go anywhere, which means I couldn't really battle anything, because I would have to go out and adventure. So I stayed in a cantina playing a flute for my entire experience with the beta.
And little did you know, that's probably the funnest activity in the game.
It's the least grind.
You probably had more fun doing that than the seasoned veterans do today.
I don't know about that. It was
pretty fucking boring.
But yeah, that was my first experience with MMOs. So maybe, just maybe, that has something to do with it.
Could be, but recently you've tried another MMO, right?
I've tried a couple.
Another sci-fi. It's actually, you said, was tons of fun.
Yeah, I played EVE Online. I think I mentioned that before. I just did the trial period of 14 days, and it was a lot of fun. I just, at the time, didn't have the money to keep it up. I might actually sign back up for it, because it was fun.
But let me try and field this question from Peter.
Okay.
A little bit better, a little more fully fleshed out. And one of the things I would say to one of his statements is that one man's grind is another man's treasure. And while he says, you know, you hear words in them like grind and level, and that is true, there's a lot of work involved in advancing.
Yeah.
And to a lot of people, that's actually the funnest part of the game. There are people that live to grind. They enjoy fighting it out with a bunch of different creatures and trying to find the most optimal way to level in the shortest amount of time. They enjoy collecting. They enjoy doing those things. And these activities may not seem to be of an entertainment-type nature to many people. It might not be fun to some. But to those that enjoy the MMO, that's actually those things that he mentioned that seem like a waste of time and not very fun are actually some of the most enjoyable parts of the game to certain people.
True.
And there's a certain satisfaction, and while I have been kind of playing more than I probably would have naturally because of this kind of in-home peer pressure, as you might call it.
Yeah.
I have really been rewarded and seen the light, as it were. I've seen why people play more than I probably ever would have otherwise. Because I'm here to tell you, after 6 months of playing a game, because I've played this game more than any game ever.
Yeah.
I've played a hell of a lot of games. I've played World of Warcraft more than any single other game as far as time-wise that I've ever played.
Yeah.
And I can't believe that, but it's true. And after playing a game for 6 months solid, and you go into a dungeon and you take down a great, monstrous, well-designed creature, and your whole team is in sync with the strategies and what they need to do at the certain time, mm-hmm. and then, bam, off of the corpse, you see this amazing piece of equipment drop that's for your specific character. And you, I mean, it's like gambling. It's like the fucking lottery. You suddenly get twitchy and you're starting to sweat. and you're so intense and satisfied that you even down this creature. But then, oh my God, there's this epic thing that dropped. It's epic and it's for me and only me. And my God, I'll be worshipped when I go back to town if I get it. And you hit the following. You hit /ROLL. Roll. You're rolling on it, man. It's like playing.
Yeah.
It's like the slot machine, and you hit enter. Holy fuck, I rolled 90! Oh my God! And then the other guy rolls it. Oh, he didn't get it! It's like a sexual orgasm.
And then he picks it up anyway, and it's soulbound.
No, not if you're playing right. There's different loot methods. You never go in with.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's all kinds of ways to make sure you don't get fucked over. But the first time you win a drop like that and your character is suddenly tons better because of this new cool-looking piece of armor,
mm-hmm.
that now you are one of the rare people that have it, the second that you gain that is the moment that you realize why people play for years and years and years.
You know what? I played for a while for that reason also, like the collecting aspect of it,
yeah.
where I wanted to get the best gear I possibly could. And then yeah. I realized that once I get that gear, I'm not the only one to have it. And that last time we were talking about what would make the perfect game, yeah. and that was one of the things I brought up, a crafting system where you're going to have something that is very, very unique. And in these current MMOs, you just don't get that. Every time you pick up a piece of gear, you know there are thousands of people before you that have picked up that exact same piece of gear. And it just seems like it's pointless.
Well, to me, I mean, I've got a full set of what used to be the in-game armor.
Uh-huh.
And when you would log into a server, you would see people with the same armor on, but it would be like 1 in 1,000.
Yeah.
It would be so far apart that when you saw it, you kind of had an affinity for the person because you realized that they did the same thing as you did,
mm-hmm.
and they would be kind of like the people you would hang out with. But then if you wanted to, you know, just walk through town and strut your stuff, you could go to certain places, and there would be no one else that looked even remotely as good as you, and there would be hundreds of people passing you by in fucking sackcloth and stupid rags and look like shit and fight
yeah.
like shit and be completely, you know, the opposite, and they would just, you know, you would be like a hero or a god. I mean, I walk through town and looking like that, and people are like, you know, falling over each other, you know, wanting to get a glimpse at you.
Yeah.
You really feel like pretty special because, unlike certain online games where you log in and you're just another player one, you know, you're just another guy that looks just like the other guys shooting at the other guys who look like you.
Yeah.
You know, when you log into a game like World of Warcraft and you spend a year playing and tweaking your character out, you really look amazing and people know what you had to have done to get all that, and you plop yourself in the middle of a big city, you know, everyone can see exactly what kind of player you are and know instantly what kind of player you must be.
And instantly lose all respect for you as a human being.
What?
Because
if
of
they're
the
playing
hours
the game, they're
you've spent playing a game.
That's not how it works, I'll tell you.
I know.
I mean, I've logged in and I've seen characters that look much better than me and have much, much better gear, and most of the time I'm just incensed with a lot of jealousy.
Well, we've probably spent too much time on this question as is, but I have to agree with him, and I ask the same question. Why play MMORPGs? I just haven't seen one that has really captured me
yet. Well, I haven't fully
yet.
Answered either, because another aspect of it is the community aspect.
Yeah.
I mean, this is something you can log in every day, and when you're in a good guild like I'm in, you know exactly when people are going to be on. You know exactly when you can play with who. You know exactly that you can count on it. You know, you can log in and you can be like, hey, what's up? And you, a lot of people form lifelong friendships out of these things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's for people who don't have much of an option when it comes to friends in your local community, an MMO is a great way to branch out and meet people of a similar kind as you.
Yeah, it's a place to meet on a common ground.
Right. So there's the social aspect, there's the hunt and gathering type of aspect, there's the pride. I mean, if you don't have... A lot of people who play these things are people with low self-esteem, let's face it.
Yeah.
And they're fucking outcasts at school or work or wherever they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody cares about them, and they're nothing. But they fucking log into Warcraft, and they're the motherfucking, you know, they're the motherfucking time, man. They are God, you know. They are, at least they're respected.
Sure.
As a member of a community that, and they have a role to play, you know. They actually have a meaningful part to play. Like, say they're in a guild, and they're the warrior, you know. They have a job to do. They have a purpose in life.
Yep. Gotta pull
and
the aggro. Keep the aggro.
They have to keep the fucking aggro. I mean, that's more of a purpose than it is to go get a wedgie at school. I mean, if all I did was, you know, go get chastised in my day-to-day life, I'd want to come home, and I'd want to log in, and I'd want to look awesome, I'd want to kick some ass, and I'd want to talk to people who respect me.
Yeah, I guess so.
And that's you get all these things out of an MMO. There are a lot of people who play for a lot of those reasons as well.
All right. Well, is that have you sufficiently defended MMOs?
I suppose. I'm not really trying to defend it because, I mean, World of Warcraft has 8.5 million players, so that's my defense, buddy.
Yeah,
but,
I guess so.
You know, so choke on the numbers, but, you know, before
you
Pepsi
to add
your
the
choke
bitch.
On the numbers.
Choke on the numbers, bitch.
Yeah, choke on the numbers, bitch. Fuck you. Peter Dragon, World of Warcraft has more players than you have negative karma. So suck my dick, you know?
Actually, no, it doesn't.
No, not yet. It will by the next expansion.
Okay. All right.
But, yeah. Okay.
Well, let's move on to the next question. We spent way too much time on that one. If we spend that much time on all these, we're never going to get through them.
You have to cut it down.
Let's see. The next question here... Yeah, we did the Pepsi or choke. We both chose Pepsi. No surprise. Let's see. All right. Actually, I think both Staffa and Peter Dragon agree that this is a good question. Are games getting easier?
What do you think, Jim? Why don't you field a little bit of this?
Well, I'm looking through here, and I'm reading some of the points that Peter Dragon makes about the different difficulty levels and how we didn't have those back in the day. Unlimited saves, unlimited continues. And I'd have to say the default level, like the default settings of the games definitely make them seem like they're easier. Like I'll say right now I've been playing Ninja Gaiden and I went through and I beat that game within the last few weeks. And that is a fucking hard game.
Really?
I mean, it took hours and hours for me to beat that. And it's really freaking hard because you don't have many lives and you don't have many continues.
Right.
And it's, oh, let's see, 6 times 4. It's like, I don't know, too many levels to count. And every level is hard. Even the beginning levels are kind of difficult. But in a newer version of Ninja Gaiden, you would have the easy mode, you would have the normal mode, and you would have the fuck my ass, this is hard mode. And you wouldn't play it on fuck my ass, this is hard, would you?
No.
You'd start on normal.
Absolutely.
So it may seem like the games are easier, but if you play them on their hardest difficulty, which you're essentially doing when you play an old game because they only give you one option,
right?
I think they're pretty comparatively difficult.
Well, I would say that there are quite a few new games that do not give you that option.
Really?
Yeah. There's not every new game has a difficulty setting.
Yeah, I'm sure not everyone. But then again, I played Kirby's Adventure like a few weeks ago, and that's the simplest game I've ever played. So not every game back then was super hard either.
Yeah.
So it varies. I mean, and if you take a look at the new Ninja Gaiden games, they're still fucking hard.
Yeah, there's a few standouts still, like Devil May Cry 3.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
talk about a hard game.
So hard, and Shinobi for the PlayStation 2.
Yeah, so, and it's funny. You mentioned Devil May Cry 3. That's a game that starts you out on normal difficulty, and then when you lose a certain amount of times, it gives you the easy difficulty as an option.
Yeah, it only does that so it can mock your ass.
Yeah. Not good enough for normal, huh? Try this mode. Easy.
Try I'm a little pansy mode.
Yeah. I think we've mentioned this on the show before, but it's worth noting again.
Yeah, it's really makes you feel like less of a man.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are still a lot of really hardcore games out there that are pretty difficult. I've not played the new Ninja Gaiden, but I hear it's very, very hard. Have you have you played
the
Xbox?
No, I haven't played it. No, I've just played the original.
And
I hear that Gears of War on whatever it's called, hero mode or whatever, is actually very, very difficult.
Apparently, Gears of War is it's not very well liked by Ali. Apparently, he thinks it's very glitchy and buggy.
Yeah, I have yet to ask him about that.
Played that yet, so I'd like to know more about why the hell he thinks so.
Yeah, me too. If you're listening to this, which I assume you will be, go ahead and post on the boards why your problems with Gears of War.
Yeah, what's the deal? What's your beef with Gears of War, man?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I honestly think that by and large, the majority of games back in at least the Nintendo era were more difficult and didn't fear to be as difficult as I think some developers have a fear that their games... I think they're more concerned with not making their games too difficult today than they were back in the Nintendo era.
Yeah.
I think companies back then, probably because gaming wasn't as big, companies didn't have as much to lose, and they didn't have as much to throw out on the line. Games cost a hell of a lot to produce these days.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And with all that time and money invested, you want to make sure that you're not cutting out any potential profit from a potential buyer. So there's a lot more paranoia and concern about making your game acceptable to the largest audience possible. You see this in Nintendo's strategy with the Wii. Mm-hmm. They want to make it in every household. They want your grandpa to pick up a fucking Wii remote and swing it around, you know?
Yeah.
They, Sony PlayStation, they want, you know, they want the geeks to buy it. They want, you know, movie enthusiasts. They want to own every possible market. Each company wants as many dollars as possible, and since gaming is so much more rewarding and so much more potentially disastrous in this day and age when it's like a massive multi-billion dollar industry, people really want to have their game be played by as many people as they can.
Yeah.
So I think there is a lot more concern out there as to whether or not their game is appealing to a broader audience. Whereas back in the Nintendo day, you know, if you cranked out a couple of titles within a few months' time and they didn't sell very well, you're probably not going to lose as much money as you would doing that same thing today. And, you know, it wasn't as big of a concern because games were more of a kid's toy back then, and you were making your game for kids who would probably stubbornly try and play this difficult game until it drove them up the wall.
And had all the time in the world to play
to,
it.
To devote to mastering it, yes.
Yeah.
And now I think a lot of the companies are wanting to make sure that, you know, there's a lot more entertainment per minute in their product than they used to.
Yeah, and I think they're realizing that the mainstream audience now really isn't kids. I mean, back in the Nintendo days, it was.
Oh, yeah.
It was all, like, the 6-year-olds to 12-year-olds. And now it's those gamers have grown up, and they're...
Yeah, now it's like 18 to 35.
Yeah, exactly. And they're realizing that the people who are playing these games now don't have time to deal with a game like Ninja Gaiden.
No.
They just don't have the time to master a game like that, or to do what it takes to beat that game.
Which is why you do see a lot of them coming with easy mode, for God's sakes. Mm-hmm. I mean, you play the new... I mean, this comes out tomorrow, you get the new God of War. Part 2
God
coming
of War
out.
2, sure.
That comes out here on the 14th of March, and which is actually today, and the original game was a fuck of a lot of fun. I played and beat that. Have you played that game?
No, I've never even played it.
That I bought the game when it got onto the greatest hits list for Sony PlayStation 2, and I beat it. I beat it on normal, but there's an easy mode, and normal's pretty easy, but easy mode's probably a walk in the park.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking the same's probably going to be true with Gears of War 2, but most of the people who are going to want to play Gears of War are going to want to be entertained by the awesome bloody action, the cool story, the great graphics, the fun bosses, the over-the-top bosses. And all of that is a lot of fun, and it's a hell of a lot of entertainment right there. But those people are probably going to be of a more mature age, and it's an M-rated game, and it's going to be designed for a more mature audience of gamer. Mm-hmm. And they're probably going to be working people like me, and they're not going to want to play a level over 100 times before they see the next fucking cutscene.
Yeah.
They're going to want a steady pace to their game, so it seems like one solid, continuous experience, kind of like a movie is.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have parts in a movie that are frustrating that you just want to end if it's a good movie. If it's a good movie, it has a steady pacing and a steady flow to it.
Uh-huh.
And the same is true, I think, with the game developer. Nowadays, they want to make sure they have a constant, steady experience. So if the game is going to be something that has a plot to it, they want the game to be kind of easy so you can just continue the story until the very end.
Yeah, sure. Makes sense.
So I think you do see a lot more concern with making games easier today.
Yeah, another game I think is a good example of how hard games can be on the hardest difficulty settings is Half-Life 2. Have you ever tried to play that on the hardest difficulty?
No, I haven't.
Neither have I, but the normal difficulty is hard enough. And I consider myself pretty good at FPS games.
Right.
I don't even know that I could deal with the hardest difficulty level. It's a pretty damn hard game. So there are still games out there that are tough. It's just, you have to crank up the difficulty now.
Yeah, so you're basically... Peter Dragon makes a good point in that if you are hardcore, you still can get a hard experience.
Yeah.
You still can get the challenge if you want it.
He says, just bump it up, man.
Yeah, good point.
Yep. All right, well, let's move on to the next question. Coconut Carekeeper wants to know what our top seven fighting games would be. Wow.
That's a hard one for me.
Yeah, this is like a spontaneous top seven list, and that's pretty tough.
Honestly, I don't think I can really participate in this question.
Oh, what a cop-out.
No, I honestly don't think I can. I really thought I could make an effort at it.
Uh-huh.
But then Stotho on the forums decided to make sure I was aware that the games that I'm probably going to list are not true fighting games in the real sense of the word.
Yeah.
but they're probably brawlers. And the reason he says this is because my most favorite experiences with what I would call a fighting game is going to be Power Stone for Dreamcast.
Yeah, which he calls a brawler.
He calls it a brawler.
Probably because you can pick shit up and smash people with it. It's like a bar fight.
It really is, and I think that's why it's so damn fun.
Yeah.
But and the combos, there's not an enormous amount of combos.
Uh-huh.
And you're basically, I mean, there's punch, kick, and so forth, but there's not a hell of a lot of combos, not a combo system. Plus, you pick these power stones up, and you can transform into huge things. Plus, it's like an arena fight. It's not on a 2D plane.
No.
It's a big free-roaming arena that you can run around and basically use anything in the environment as a weapon.
Yeah.
And to me, it was one of the most fun experiences I've ever had playing a game, period. And I would say probably my favorite fighting game of all time.
Yeah.
So if that tells you something about my experience with fighting games, that should show you that I guess I just know what a brawler is like instead of a fighting game. Because I really like that, and I really also I enjoy Smash Brothers, the Smash Brothers series.
Yeah, I never got into that one. That, I don't know. Just never really
interested
me.
The GameCube one was where I actually started to enjoy it.
I think I only ever played the 64 version.
Yeah, I remember playing that at your house a few times.
Yeah. Okay, well, you're going to push this question off on me, huh? Kind of like I did with MMOs for you.
My answer to the question, like it or not, Staffa, is my favorite fighting game is Power Stone.
Okay, well, shit, 7 fighting games. I don't even know if I can name 7 fighting games.
Contrary
to popular belief, I am not as big into fighting games as people seem to think I am.
That's all you ever play. What are you talking about?
Yes, I'm the master of all fighting games. And I'll talk about the ones I haven't played as well. But, okay, obviously my number one would be Super Street Fighter 2. That is my favorite. I almost said hands down.
You mean hands down?
No hands. They're not down if I had them.
Get out of town!
Get out of town! It's hands down. No. Super Street Fighter 2 is my favorite fighting game, though.
You actually meant to say Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
I don't think so.
It's Super Nintendo.
No, I don't think so.
That's the best one.
That, I don't believe, ever came out on the Super Nintendo.
Oh, yes, it did. Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo. I've got a ROM ROM cough ROM of it.
Really? Uh-huh. Perhaps that is not a real ROM. We're gonna have to look this up. Let's look it up.
With the Mario Brothers and Plumbing's a game, we're not like the others who get all the fame. If you're sick is in trouble, you can call us on the double. We're faster than the others, you'll be hooked on the brothers. A treat, so hang on to your seat. Get ready for adventure and remarkable feats. You'll meet Koopas and Troopas, the princess and the others. Hanging with the plumbers, you'll be hooked on the brothers to the bridge.
See?
God, I'm a tchotchke. Apparently, not only did this game come out for Super Nintendo, but I bought it for a friend of mine very recently.
You actually bought this game.
Yeah, so I'm a fucking tchotchke. But regardless...
What the hell is a tchotchke? Isn't that a character on Happy Days?
No, that was Tchotchke.
Oh.
But I'm a tchotchke. And, yeah. So apparently it did come out.
Told you so.
Oh, you got me.
I told you so.
Asshole.
Hey.
I don't know that I ever played it. I probably did. But anyway, on my top ten list. Fuck. On my top seven list for
top 10. He's just messed up because this is episode 10.
Yep. Episode 10.
What the hell are you? What were you thinking?
I don't know. That's old school. Top 10.
Oh, shit.
But no, on my top 7 favorite games list, I put Super Street Fighter 2, The New Challengers for the SNES.
Yeah.
So I'll stick with that. I'll say that's my favorite.
Yeah. Well, I guess you have to. The version you're most familiar with would probably be the favorite, so.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the best version of it, because the best version's probably Third Strike, isn't it? Isn't that what they do in the tournaments? It's Third Strike.
I don't know. Do they even have Super Street Fighter tournaments?
Yeah, remember that video that's amazingly awesome with Hidaigo?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the one you posted on the boards.
Right. Yeah. That video is outstanding. And as far as I'm concerned, or as far as I know, rather, that is the definitive, supposedly the definitive form of Street Fighter.
Yeah, I've heard it's real good, but I've never played it, so I can't say too much about it. Yeah, but I guess Super Street Fighter 2 is my favorite on the Super Nintendo. Then, of course, I've got to put Tekken 3 right after that. Played tons of that.
Yep. So what exactly... So you think you have 7?
No, I'm going to really stretch if I can even name 7.
I can name.
Yeah, I could name 7. Not 7 that I've played, though. That's tough.
I can. I've played Mortal Kombat. I played Virtual Fighter. I've played Tekken. I've played Marvel vs. Capcom. I've played Marvel vs. SNK. I've played... Street Fighter, I've played Clay Fighter.
Yeah, that would be on my list, actually. That's a cool game.
That's my number 2. I played... Battle Arena Toshinden.
King of Fighters? How about that?
King of Fighters.
Virtual Fighter? Did you say Virtual Fighter?
Yeah, I mentioned those. Let's see, what is that one? We've mentioned it before for Super Nintendo called...
Balls? Super 3D Balls?
No, God. That shit. No, I can't remember. It's Gold something.
Killer Instinct?
That's... For some reason, that's what I meant.
Because there's a Killer Instinct Gold.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
So I've played a lot of fighting games, just never been really good at them.
Yeah, I guess I played more than I realized. Anyway, I'm going to just try and make up a list real quick. Number 1, Super Street Fighter 2 for the SNES. Number 2, Tekken 3 for the PlayStation. Number 3, Mortal Kombat 2 for the arcade. Number 4, fuck. Virtual Fighter 2 for the
arcade.
What
about Soul Calibur?
Oh, I forgot about Soul Calibur. Number 4, Soul Calibur. Number 5, Virtual Fighter 2.
It's a really well thought out list.
For the arcade. Number 6.
I really like Soul Calibur 2.
Killer Instinct for the N64. Number 7, Clay Fighter. Clay Fighter 33 and a third. Who knows? I don't know.
There was Clay Fighter 63 and like a third or something for 64.
Yeah, fuck that.
Really
just
stupid.
Clay Fighter.
Okay.
That's my top 7. My hasty, not so well thought out.
I drew
top
a
7.
Clay Fighter once for art class.
Really?
Yeah, in retrospect, that's a really gay idea for a game.
It was kind of fun, though. It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
But how about I talk about the ones that I haven't played? I'll just mention them. And everyone can laugh at me and point and mock me. Because I have...
That's always fun.
I have not played Marvel vs. Capcom 2, which is supposed to be one of the best fighting games ever made.
Yes.
And I've not played it.
You've never even played it?
No. I've never played either of the Marvel vs. Capcom games.
You suck.
I know. I have never played any Tekkens beyond Tekken 3 or Tekken Tag Tournament.
I can't fault you there.
I never played a Virtua Fighter beyond 2. I've never played...
2's a good one. 4 is probably the best.
Never played it. I never played, let's see, any of the Marvel vs. games. Any Capcom or SNK or Marvel vs. Yoshi or Marvel vs. the World.
Marvel vs. the World.
I've never played Marvel Kicks Yoshi's Ass.
My favorite is Marvel versus Kicks Yoshi's Ass. That's the best one. If you pick Yoshi, you win every time.
Awesome. I've never played King of Fighters. I've never played... I don't know. I can't think of any more that I've never played. But there's a lot of them that I've never played. And a lot of good ones that I've never played. Never played a Street Fighter beyond Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo. Believe it or not.
Wow.
So I'm missing out on a lot of good stuff that I need to go back and check out, but
tons
I never will.
Tons of really good fighting games.
Yeah, there are. So that's my hasty top 7. Hasty, pasty top mm-hmm. 7.
Well, I think that does it for listener questions this week. Thanks for asking the questions, by the way, everybody. Appreciate the participation.
Does that do it? I think we have a few more.
That's all I see.
No.
Do we have more?
Oh, yeah.
Is there more?
Oh, yeah, we have more.
No, there's no more than that.
Yep. Check out Zeramus' question. How far would each of you go just to play a video game?
Oh, yeah. Whoops. Yep.
And this is very very similar to our Would You Rather segment, I think.
Yes, indeed. It very well could be, anyway.
Yeah, it could be stated, would you rather not play a video game or swimming in leech-infested waters, for instance, like he says.
Well, I would... realistically, I would stand in line for like a week. If, say, for example, Nintendo comes out with a new machine tomorrow.
Like the Wii.
Yeah. Or, okay, and let's say it's coming out in a few months. Uh-huh. They're coming out with Wii 2, and it's going to have a Mario game on it, and it's going to be packed with HD TV.
Okay.
For like $200. So I buy this game, and suddenly I have a better television with a better resolution, and it comes out with a Mario that looks better than any game's graphics ever made, plus is supposed to play, you know, like Jesus.
Okay.
So it's perfect.
Yeah.
And it's coming out, I would probably take up to a month off of work to get it.
Wow, really?
Yep.
Paid or not paid?
Not paid.
Wow. That's crazy.
As far as the example of swimming in leech-infested water...
Yep.
What are we talking about? A lake here? An ocean?
an ocean?
A ocean creek? It depends on the size of the body of water. If we're talking a lake, like a lake you'd find anywhere in any state, just a small-sized lake, I'd probably go up to that size and swim through it hastily in order to play that aforementioned Mario game.
Wow, that's pretty bold.
Like, if this was back in the day, and it was Mario 64, it was me, and a lake was between me with leeches in it and Mario 64, I would just put one hand over my penis and dive in.
Wow. Wouldn't you need your hands more than your penis once you got to the other side, though?
Oh, shit. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I could play with my dick. No, I mean... Oh, scratch that. Never mind, I didn't say anything.
Anyway. He mentions shaving off all his body hair. He says that's as far as he would go.
That's strange that he mentioned that. I had just done what he just mentioned for free right when I read... That's all he would do for a game. I thought, how pathetic is that? Because I'll shave all my hair off for nothing.
Wow.
Although when it grows back in, it is kind of itchy.
Well, I think probably the farthest I would go.
Seriously, it is. It fucking sucks. What?
The greatest length I would go to is probably something I've already done, which is driving 1,200 miles to play a game. From Indianapolis to San Antonio, Texas.
That's hardcore. Not only is that hardcore, but slightly insane.
Yeah. Because
if I'm not mistaken, couldn't you have played the same game you played there just right in your own home?
Yes, I could. I could have. But I chose to drive 17 hours to Texas to play.
That's pretty hardcore.
And what makes it worse is the fact that this is not theoretical, unlike swimming through in leech-infested waters. I've actually done this. That's the sad part. So that's how far I would go.
You've swam in eel-infested waters?
Eel-infested waters.
You've swam in leech-infested waters?
No, I've driven to Texas to play a game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's as far as I would go.
It's pretty hardcore. Pretty hardcore.
Yep. Now we have another good question. What is with all the good questions? I hate good questions. Can't you just ask us what our favorite color is? Come on.
Oh, come on. We begged people to ask questions for months, and now they are, and you're going to bitch about it?
I know, but wouldn't it be so much easier to answer what our favorite color is?
No, these are great questions. The harder, the
better,
people.
That's the problem. They're too good.
Nothing's too good for Power Play.
Okay. Well, Ollie asked the question, How strong do we feel the systems, the current generation of systems are? And he mentions that most of them are still very buggy. And he also cites how there aren't very many games that have been released that are killer apps or very good even.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true.
Yeah, right, I think now, it's definitely the case.
Yeah.
But how strong, in the light of that, do we feel the new systems are?
What do you think, Jim?
Oh, boy. To be perfectly honest, even though I'm a big fan of Nintendo, I've got to say, I think the 360 is the strongest console out of all of them.
Oh, yeah?
And I think by a long shot, too. And the only reason I say that is because the Wii has not yet lived up to its potential.
No.
I mean, we've got games like Zelda and Wii Sports, which he mentions. And those are great games, especially Wii Sports. I love Wii Sports, but it's so limited in its capacity. I mean, it's not a very in-depth game.
No.
You basically, you're either throwing a ball or hitting a ball or playing with balls. And that's...
Hey, that could be compelling for hours. Who doesn't want to play with their balls on a Wii? You could play with your Wii and your balls at the same time.
But I think the 360 by far has the best lineup of games. There are so
of the
many
new
games,
systems, I would agree with you by a long shot.
Yeah, I mean, there are just... Well, for one thing, there are a lot more games, but there are a lot more good
quality
games.
Quality games.
Like, for instance, I've mentioned this before, I would love to own a 360 just because of Dead Rising. And as soon as I have the money, I will probably buy one. Unfortunately, I'm limited on funds right now. But, I mean, Dead Rising, Gears of War, Lost Planet is another one he mentions. He mentions Call of Duty 2 and 3.
Yeah, Halo 3's coming out.
Halo 3's coming out. All these games that really are, for me, killer apps. Like, I loved Lost Planet, how it looked. It looked really fun.
I've played a short demo of it. It's actually a lot of fun.
Oh, and I've not even played that.
Yeah, it's pretty spectacular. I mean, as big of a graphics whore as I am as well, I mean, the 360 delivers in that as well. It has great visuals.
Yeah. I noticed the explosions in that are super cool.
Yeah, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Vegas, even though you can also play that on PC, though.
So. Yeah, I actually just played that at the most recent LAN party I went to, and that is an awesome game, too. Yeah. Like, I wasn't a fan of the old Tom Clancy games when they first started out, because they were more, like, squad-based tactics games.
Uh-huh.
And now they're a lot more first-person shooter. They still have kind of a slow movement to them, but I like it a lot better.
Viva Pinata.
Viva Pinata. I've not played it. I've heard great things about it, but probably not a game I'd play anyway.
Probably not me either, but it's got a variety of really great stellar titles to choose from.
Yeah,
I'd
definitely.
I would say it's the strongest of the new generation of consoles.
Yep.
And it's amazing that there's still quite a few pretty decent games trickling out for the old generation. I can think of a couple is like Rogue Galaxy just came out for PlayStation 2.
And one you mentioned before,
God of War 2 is enormous and it's about to release.
Yep.
And so, I mean, it's like developers haven't fully given up because so much hard work and time was spent developing technology for this past generation.
Yeah.
I think it's taking developers a little bit of time to go, oh my god, we have to update all our shit.
You know, I kind of I think something's funny about that because, and this kind of ties in, the PS3, as far as I'm concerned, is by far the weakest system. It's
I am anti-excited about that system.
Yeah, I'm about as excited as being shot in the balls. But I was going to say, you only really see a lot of titles for the last generation being developed for the PS2. I mean, the GameCube and the original Xbox are pretty much non-existent anymore.
Yeah, they're dead.
And it's just funny that the PS3 is doing so terribly. Maybe that's the reason why the PS2 is still being developed for. I don't know.
Well, I don't see that PlayStation 3's future is all wrapped up in a nice little box of failure.
No, I didn't say that.
His question's very good, but let's keep in mind, Ollie, this is immensely early in this gen's life cycle.
True.
I mean, this is like we have spanked the new systems on the ass and they're starting to cry.
And at this point in the last generation, we would have said Dreamcast wins.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, think about that.
And been completely, you know, assured of that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, this is just, it's just starting. Keep in mind that the average console life cycle is 5 years, and I'm sure he knows that. But Sony is saying they're actually looking to milk 10 years out of this thing. So,
which I think is a joke.
The president of Sony Computer Entertainment is saying on record that Sony PlayStation 3 is designed to be the first system with a 10-year life cycle. So, I mean, if that's even, you know, say that's a terrible move on their part, whether or not it is, that just goes to show how early we are in this war.
Yeah.
So,
true.
I mean, Sony, even though they have a dismal beginning, I mean, the few people who did get a PlayStation 3 when it came out have bullet wounds in their chest. And, you know, the people that survived launch with their PlayStation 3 have, like, nothing to play on.
Resistance.
For Moto Storm and,
oh god,
you know, Virtual Fighter 5.
Yeah, if you like playing one single
bunch of
map.
Bunch of other lackluster, you know, over-budgeted titles like those. I just don't see the system being, while it's, you know, it doesn't have a lot to offer right now.
Yeah.
Sony has the money, the time, and connections to make sure that you, before the end, all of us will probably at one point or another wish we had a PlayStation 3.
You know, it's funny. Have you heard anything about this new home thing they're launching for the PS3?
Yeah, I just watched a video of that just today, actually.
I watched it, yeah, like yesterday or something. And I think it's hilarious that, like, only a month ago, they're calling the Wii a gimmick. And they're saying how it doesn't have any staying power. It's all just a gimmick. And this home thing could not be more of a gimmick. I mean, 3D interactive menus, for me, just don't work. Why do I want to run someplace and take 2 minutes to get there and load a 3D world when I could just click a button on a menu? It just doesn't give me anything extra.
It's kind of like the whole strategy with Windows and Vista and things becoming more, you know, why do I want my system resources to be clogged with an interface? when I could have my resources clogged with content. But hey, that might just be us.
Yeah, I guess. But it's just hilarious that they're calling everything else a gimmick, and then they come out with that.
It does look very cheesy and gimmicky, and it does. Yeah, I agree. That whole, what's it called? Home?
Home, yeah.
I mean, that's creepy. I don't want to fucking live in my PlayStation 3. That's basically, I think home is telling people that it's, I think that is a giving up on life. Because if all you have left to do, if you're in such a sorry state that your dilapidated apartment crawling with filthy roaches is falling down on your fucking head, and at least you've got a fucking shiny home inside your PlayStation 3, that scares me. That's fucking sad.
Call it PS3, your pathetic interface.
PS3, this is the life you'd have if you didn't play so many games.
Yeah, exactly. But along with this, I think we need to talk about also the online support for these consoles, which is also another huge factor right now. Because, like I said, 360 is probably the strongest console, and the online support really helps that.
Yeah, its online feature is the best in the business.
By far.
With consoles.
Especially when compared to the Wii. I'm sorry, I have to say it. Nintendo, what the hell are you doing?
Hold on,
no, seriously, though.
Oh, right now, I would agree with you, but hey, wait a minute. In a matter of 6 months, I say Nintendo's number two with its online.
Oh, God. Why?
Easily. Pretty soon, I mean, obviously they're interested in online. They're going to have two major titles that are going to make Nintendo see the light and cause them to support online a lot more. And I'll tell you, once they discover that most Wii owners are going to buy the new Smash Brothers game because it has online support and play the fuck out of it online with other people, and once they see the new Pokemon game come out, because there are two new ones for DS, which are going to have online capability, and also I hear the new Pokemon for Wii is going to have online capacity.
Once you can trade
and borrow and fight your Pokemon wirelessly on the go on your DS and have wireless interactivity with your Wii with your new Pokemon game, even though Pokemon's not what it was, I see so many people doing that and so many people playing Smash Brothers that Nintendo will be like, oh, there is an enormous market for online gaming. I see them supporting it and going forward with it full blast after, probably after this year. So,
well, as good as that may be, I think they've really screwed up with the friend codes again. Like, they shouldn't have done it on the DS, and they really shouldn't have done it on a home console. It's just moronic. Because now, not only do you have a friend code for your console, you have one for each individual game, apparently. Because Pokemon is going to have its own.
Is that right?
From what I've heard, yeah. All indications are it's going to have its own friend code. So if you want to play with your friend, you have to put in two friend codes, which are like 168 digits each, and it takes you longer to put in the friend code than it does to play the game. They're really shooting themselves in the foot with that. And it's all to protect the children, the fucking children. God, I hate children.
Somebody think of the fucking kids. Shit.
Makes me so mad. But I think that's going to be a huge disadvantage, especially if you have to use one for each game.
Yeah, I never thought about that. You're right. That's an immense inconvenience that should have nothing to do with online gaming.
Yeah.
You should have your connection hooked up to the system properly. Mm-hmm. Then you should turn on the system, go into the online mode of it, and play your goddamn game, and that should be it.
Yep. You know what they need instead of friend codes, right?
What?
They need some
enemy
sort of
codes?
Training program for parents. teach them to watch their kids while they're playing video games.
Yeah, that can be a separate DVD that comes with it. And the parents can take it in the other room and go, when your children are online talking to strangers, monitor their activity. show concern in your child's well-being.
It could be the game Wii Parenting, where you have to take the Wiimote and spank your children with it.
Virtual spankings. We're going to be banned from the internet after this show.
Whatever.
I know. Fuck the banners.
Fuck the banners. So that's how I feel. I think it's right now it's 360. Then
Wii Parenting. Wii. That would be awesome. You make your me parent, your me kids, and you put them in your me house, and you you spank them.
You could personalize the paddles. You could drill holes in it.
Oh god!
Put decals on it.
Call it Wii abuse.
Yep, it'd be a crafting system for paddles.
Oh god! Well, you could with the pointer. You could.
Yep.
You like char in 666 to the paddle like my mom did.
Anyway, so I think 360 is strongest, and then the Wii, and then PS3 way at the bottom.
Yes, sir. I would weigh in with the same estimation, but it's still young yet. Still too soon to call it.
Definitely
by a few years.
All right, and let's move on. The last question we have, which I'm sure was not really intended to be answered on the podcast, but we're gonna do it anyway.
They posted it, and yep. We promised everyone we would answer each and every question. So
here we go. Final question is, when do we get to see a new episode? Anytime soon? How do you respond to that, Peter?
Well, I think, Jim, my answer would go, probably if I was being completely honest, I would have to say, do your own cast. Give me something to do while I'm waiting for my next cast, you stupid shithead. Let's just stick your stupid opinions and your thumb, remove them from your ass, and put them on your keyboard and do your own fucking cast, you asshole. But if I'm being a little more kind, since he is my friend, I'd probably just say that we'll probably have one as soon as he's listening to this.
That's a good answer. As soon as you hear this, that's when we'll have
it. When you're listening to this, we've got it. It's done.
All right. Well, that's the end of the listener question segment. Long listener questions segment
Big
this
segment,
time.
But we have to show our loyalty to those taking the time to ask.
Yep. And we enjoy the questions, so keep posting them. If you have any questions at all, like we said, we'll answer all of them.
Just want to run through quickly what we're playing.
Like yeah, let's kind of sprint through this because I have about 60 games I've been playing.
Yeah.
I'm going to run through it real quick, just list them off. I've been playing Master of Orion 2 for PC, Ninja Gaiden for NES.
What is Master of Orion?
Master of Orion is a turn-based sci-fi strategy game.
That sounds cool. Sounds like I'd like it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. You have to kind of manage resources, upgrade your technology, and fight aliens.
Cool.
It's pretty cool. So I've been playing that. I've been playing Ninja Gaiden for the NES. Been playing Halo for the PC. Rainbow Six Vegas for the PC. Warhammer 40K Dawn of War Dark Crusade, which is a long fucking title for the PC. Warcraft 3 The Frozen Throne expansion for the PS3. PS3.
Did you just say World of Warcraft 3?
Who knows what I'm saying? At this point, I could have said anything. I have no idea. Warcraft 3, the Frozen Throne expansion.
Yes.
For PC. Starship Troopers for PC. Counter-Strike Source for PC. Darwinia for PC. And Homeworld 2 for PC. God, that's a lot of fucking games.
God, that is. Have you done anything besides play games?
Actually, you would not believe it, but in that entire... Since our last podcast, I have not only played all those games, but I have watched every episode of the new series of Battlestar Galactica, watched every episode of Heroes, watched every episode of Firefly...
Oh my god.
Watched 50 episodes... No, 65 episodes of DuckTales...
Oh, I love that show.
It's a great show, but I have no idea how I fit all that in.
65 episodes.
65 episodes.
Jesus H.
Yeah. So I've been very busy with my media. That's what not having a job will do. Of course, I won't be able to do that anymore. That kind of sucks. But you got to make some money somehow.
Yep.
It's better than sucking dicks.
Yep, which is what you used to do for a living.
Yeah, which is why I had so much time. So that's what I've been playing. I'm not going to talk about any of those. How about that?
That's fine with me. I'll quickly run through my list, which is equally as daunting.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you'll be amazed. Since the last time we did our podcast, mm-hmm. I have been playing... first of all, there's Battlefield
2142.
And then copy and paste that and do that over and over again. That's about it.
Wow, that's a huge
all
list.
I've played since our last cast. I kind of had a burnout.
Yeah, you were explaining that earlier. So that's about it for episode 10 of Power Play.
Yep, that's it for episode 10.
As always, if you have any suggestions, questions, or comments, or you just want to chat with us, you can visit our forums at www.gongradio.com.
Yeah, yeah!
That's gongradio.com. Or send us an email at powerplay@gongradio.com. Also, we can always use more reviews on iTunes, so if you like what you've heard, feel free to write up your thoughts and leave us a review. And with that said, until next time, I'm Jim Jones.
And I am Peter Street.
Do the Mario swing your arms from side to side. Come on, it's time to go. Do the Mario. Take one step and then again. Let's do the Mario all together now. You got it. It's the Mario. The Mario, swing your arms from side to side. Come on, it's time to go. Do the Mario, take one step and then again. Let's do the Mario all together now. Come on now.